Big news! The sale of the season is here. It's Wayfair's Black Friday sale, and it's on now. Right now, get up to 80% off everything home and everything you need for the season ahead. Save on quality furniture for every room in the house. Essentials for the guest room, whether it's new bedding or a new mattress. Kitchen and dining must-haves for all your hosting needs. And seasonal home finds like throw pillows and decor. Or favorites that you'll use all year long. And with amazing doorbuster deals from November 27th through December 2nd, you can shop the things you love at even lower prices at Wayfair. Plus, you can sit back and relax with Wayfair's fast and easy shipping. Everything home comes straight to your home. And the best part? Free delivery just in time for the holidays. This Black Friday, Wayfair deals are bigger and better than ever. There's no place like home for the holidays. And no place like Wayfair for Black Friday savings. So don't wait. Black Friday ends soon. Shop Wayfair's Black Friday sale now and save up to 80% off at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
And we are back here on Ryer on YouTube. It is time for Aftermath on the heels of the Alabama Crimson Tide's 56-0 shutout of Eastern Illinois Saturday afternoon at Bryant-Denny Stadium. Typically, these kind of games, not a lot of layers to them in terms of post-game analysis and things like that. But I think we've got some topics. I think we've got some topics to hit on. Some developing storylines as we now transition to Iron Bowl week. Going into the game Saturday, it was as much about who wasn't playing as who was, especially with the news that Josh Cuevas, the outstanding tight end for the Alabama Crimson Tide, had sustained an injury during the practice week. Cuevas not able to go against EIU. We'll see how this week progresses. Just my initial vibe. A little touchy in terms of expectations for Josh Cuevas against the Auburn Tigers next Saturday night at Jordan-Hare Stadium. So with that, it was a big day for the tight end position in terms of getting multiple guys reps. And Kalen DeBoer, not adverse to that. That's one of the positives from Saturday, no doubt about it. All the walk-ons, all the third, fourth teamer types that you saw, not only in there for like, you know, the final 20 seconds and a kneel down, but with about 8 minutes left in the game. And defensively, you started to see that there in the third quarter. So good stuff for those guys and also their families. Just a big, big moment for a lot of those young guys with that opportunity to see the field in actual game action for the Alabama Crimson Tide. But getting back again to more of the storylines of the day, Cuevas out, you knew it would be a big moment for Caleb Edwards to step up his game. Jay Lindsey, you know, again, the depth at the tight end position continuing to take on more and more importance. You know, Edwards has been he's been really good throughout the season. I don't think there's any doubt about that, especially for a true freshman. He had the 30-yard reception for a touch, or he had a 30-yard reception on his only target in the game on Saturday. So a lot of different guys mixing in there. Brody Dalton, we saw in the game, kind of pushes everybody up a spot. Boy, if Cuevas can't go, though, I'm not going to sugarcoat it for you. That's a big, big loss, because you think about who Ty Simpson had to work with, and yeah, I understand it's Eastern Illinois. But no Jeremy Bernard on Saturday. Didn't have his starting center either. You don't have Josh Cuevas. Those are his comfort guys, his center, his top guy at the wide receiver position, and also his top tight end without question. One of his top two or three guys around him in Josh Cuevas. So this isn't a situation with some past Alabama teams where, you know, they were just very, very much complimentary players. Josh Cuevas is a central part of this offense. There's no overstating it with the veteran tight end. So how that impacts Alabama if he can't go against Auburn, it's going to be a tough one to overcome. I think what you have is even more of an uptick on what you have to get out of Jeremy Bernard in some different ways. Because with Cuevas, the great thing with him is that, as we talked about here even in the last week, with him on the field, you can be an 11 personnel, one back, one tight end, but it can transition to essentially four wide receiver set when you flex him out and do some of those things with him. Or if you go with 12 personnel, one back, two tight ends, it can be more along the lines of 11 because you can utilize him inside in the ways of a slot receiver type. So we'll see how the upcoming week goes. But boy, it would also be helpful if you had a healthy Danny Lewis, because we talked about this early last week on TR and the AM, when Kalen last Monday really went in depth, was asked to really went in depth on the tight end position, and was just exceedingly complimentary of Josh Cuevas and his importance to this offense. One other good thing to see though today, when we talk about those tight ends like Caleb Edwards, another true freshman, and Marshall Pritchett, four targets in the game for Marshall Pritchett, four catches, 33 yards. He had 23 yards after the catch. So Cuevas, that's one of the biggest benefits to having him at that position, is what he can do after the catch. He's not one of these tight ends that catches it, you know, tries to find a safety to run over and picks up 2 yards after the catch. Cuevas, after the catch, like we saw against Oklahoma, he'll try to hurdle people. He can make people miss. He knows how to use his off arm when he's in runner mode. And Pritchett, I thought it was very encouraging to see what he did in this game Saturday. I think it's fair to think if Cuevas can't go next week, I think Marshall Pritchett has to be, you know, involved. It could be tough if you go with two freshman tight ends, but I mean, Lindsey's a young guy too. So it looks like youth, if Cuevas can't go in the Iron Bowl, is very much going to be served. You hope that with Brailsford, it's more of a precautionary thing. It felt that way. I know walking up to the stadium on the Walk of Champions, you could see him with that slight limp going into the stadium. I think it was that left foot, left ankle for Parker Brailsford. Really need him. I thought Geno Vandermark did what you thought he would do in sliding in there for this game. You stuck with the right side of that offensive line from Oklahoma with Wilkin Formby at right guard, Michael Carroll, you know, at right tackle. So that looks to be, as Chase Goodbread and myself both were on record as wanting to see through the extension of the rest of this season, what it will look like on the right side of that offensive line. We're going to get to the show chat here in just a minute. Trent Wade chiming in. Trent, how you doing? He wants to get right to Connor Talty. And that's one of those still developing storylines, I think, from Saturday too. Trent, I hope all is well with you as well. And Trent's right to the point with Connor Talty after the latest miss, another one from inside 40 yards. And to hear Kalen DeBoer on the broadcast, you know, another situation where Talty's had a good practice week. And when he goes to Bryant-Denny Stadium, we heard this back in the preseason, it was a problem. And it looked like maybe he had worked past that until about three games ago. And now with LSU, and now with Oklahoma, and now in this game against EIU, I've said it many, many times before, I'm not concerned as much about misses from 45-plus, because I don't. Kickers are going to miss those, especially at this level. What you can't have is those 38 and in type of misses. And that's what's been problematic for Connor Talty of late. And we saw Alabama work in some other kickers. Peter Nataro, the true freshman, who, frankly, on his extra point, it wasn't exactly a make with emphasis. It was a very tight-looking extra point miss. Now, he's a young guy. Maybe that's the icebreaker for him. But that wasn't a kick. That looked like maybe one of the student kicks on College game day. And I'm not making a judgment on what Peter Nataro is going to be ultimately as a kicker for Alabama. But the point is more so, he obviously was feeling it even on an extra point. And you're going to Auburn next week. If anything for Connor Talty, Trent, and this sounds crazy because that's been a house of horrors in a multitude of ways, and especially where kicking field goals is concerned, it might be good for Connor Talty to not be in Tuscaloosa next week. And the crowd getting on to him, and look, you know, He kind of brought some of that on himself. I said it after the miss against Oklahoma where he showed up as snapper post-kick. Those things have a way of lingering from a karma perspective. I know Alabama kickers in the past, in the distant past, that had issues with, say, holders. You know, they were never happy with the holder. You know, and they would make a big deal about it. And then in some of the biggest moments of their career, they missed extra points. I'm not a big superstition guy, but when it comes to stuff like karma, yeah. You know, when you make a display of a teammate on a kick that was still your fault, like it was last week against Oklahoma, and then your next kick that's from 28 yards and everything's perfect and you still push it out to the right. Yeah, that's all I'm saying about that. I don't know if Connor Talty's done mentally. I don't like the body language in general, but it very much appears as if he's going to be the guy. They're sticking with him. They're doing everything they can to try to lift him up, as you can see, even after his last extra point, I think it was today. You know, they made it a point to come out on the field, give him the pat on the head. I think you saw Tim Keenan doing what you want a veteran player to do with a teammate in that type of situation, because there's a good chance you could need him next week. CC chiming in says he's heartsick about Josh Cuevas. Yeah, that's a rough one. That's a rough one. Just a really important player, especially when you don't run the football effectively. What he gives you is a replacement for those run yards that you're not getting. You know, because some of these run games where they're running the ball for 200 yards a game, well, the tight end position is essentially an extra offensive lineman, and that's helping them run the football. Well, when you don't run the football well, but you've got a tight end that can give you 70, 80, 90, 100 yards catching it, that's your replacement for the run game. And that's what you could be experiencing the loss of with Josh Cuevas. Let's see what else we have here. CC says he got teary-eyed for the backups. I love it, too. And it seems like the older I get, CC, the more that's the case. Having raised three adult children now, that's where it hits me, is knowing their families, what they get out of it. What about Cade Carruth? You know, a legacy type guy from his family, Paulette Carruth. And I loved it when Cade kept it on that zone read and went and hit for a chunk run. Alabama with 200 and nearly 70 rushing yards. I haven't even mentioned it yet because I know you're not buying it. I know you're not going to buy that today, 270 rushing yards, because you don't think, and understandably so, that it will translate to next week against the Auburn defense. So I get it. That's why I'm not even really talking about the run game today. And it's nice to see A.K. Deere get double-digit touches. I know a lot of you wanted to see the talented freshman. I was happy for Jam Miller that his final home game, there was a positive performance for him to go out on. I was glad to see the freshness and the sort of energy that Kevin Riley brings when he touches the football. I think that's been missing. It's been lethargic. Now, some of that is in a 240-pound back in Daniel Hill. It's not exactly going to be Kenyon Drake out there. I understand that. But it feels like they needed some juice at the running back position. The compliment needed to be, or needs to be, a little bit something different than Jam and Daniel Hill. There's not enough of a change up there, right? It feels like Kevin Riley, maybe he can give you some of that. Maybe AK Deer's that guy. Allen chiming in here. I wouldn't want to have to play against any of these QBs if they transfer, and LSU, UF, and Auburn will be looking. Yeah, I mean, you know, it was good to see Austin Mack, Keelan Russell. I thought both those guys did good things. How about Austin Mack's mobility at 6'6", 6'7", on the touchdown run? And then Keelan Russell's just a twitchy AF, as the kids like to say, passer. I mean, a lot of energy in the football when it comes out of Keelan Russell's hands. So, you know, I know a lot of people, and I used to feel this way about all the backups too, especially the scholarship backups. It was always great in games like this, right? Late in the season, because you felt like you could get a little bit of a gauge on how guys have developed, like a Marshall Pritchett today. I think with Marshall Pritchett, what I noticed was it looked like physically he has made strides over the course of the season. I still wonder a little bit about guys like Jackson Lloyd that need to make those strides before next season if they're going to be one of those options. I thought it was interesting. Jackson Lloyd at right tackle today. Olas Alenin at left tackle when they went with the depth on that offensive line. But you like to get those reads. And it used to be reason for excitement. And also because you liked it from the team dynamic and the morale boost that your locker room would get. And Kalen talked about that in the post game. He did say it was a celebratory locker room, mostly because so many of these guys that work scout team or walk on that don't get an opportunity got their opportunities today. But in terms of your depth, it's hard not to be a cynic in this era of college football and think, well, it's great they're in there, but for them, this is tape for the portal. They're putting together tape. Now, I don't think guys like Austin Mack and Keelan Russell as much need tape. I think there's already GMs for plenty of schools around the country that know exactly who Keelan Russell and Austin Mack are. CC chimes back in. Vandy waxing Kentucky 31-3. Yeah, man. Give it up for Vandy. And that trip to Tennessee next week is going to be interesting. Vandy is a different Vandy, there's no doubt, because this is the time of year typically they have waned. They even did it last year. I mean, Tennessee went to Nashville and hammered them last year. You don't get the sense that's going to be the case. Vandy still trying to be on that fringe of the college football playoff. Speaking of which, Jacob chimes in here. Hopefully the committee doesn't punish us for the lack of passing today. Yeah, it almost felt like, Jacob, I'm watching it, I'm going, well, maybe they're running the ball in answer to the committee here. But I don't think the committee would buy that either. 270 against an FCS defense. But look, you know, we talk about Talty and special teams and how much Alabama came up short, especially last week against Oklahoma. Good to see a block punt. Keon Keeley getting through there and doing the job. Yeah, they really did, CC. The broadcast was Talty heavy. I mean, he's kind of brought some of it on his own. I think if you just miss the kick last week against OU, it's not as big of a story. But then with the animated response to the snap, it's given him some extra life. Silverblade says the defense, and he gives the flex. Yeah, man. 34 total yards for EIU on Saturday. 35 penalty yards. So Eastern Illinois had one more penalty yard than it had total yards. And again, good to see all those young guys. I like to see Steve Bolo Boomwa out there. I mean, he looks the part, doesn't he? You just got to think at this point, still in his developmental stage in terms of when, where, technique. I always go back to Joe Kynes when he was at Alabama, and we would ask him about young guys. And he would, diplomatically as Joe Kynes could, offer up sometimes the old, he's going to be a good one as soon as he learns heel from Sikkim. And that was Joe Kynes right there. Silverblade also gives the dead sort of emoji there to the offense. Yeah, I mean, with Ty, we talk about Talty and his mindset. You wonder a little bit about Ty at this point. It looks like a guy who has traveled a difficult road, and it has been. It definitely has been. The streak of turnovers, you don't like to see that extend. I didn't care about the second interception. Kalen talked about that in the postgame, too. He thought it was a positive because it meant that Ty was more about the team in throwing that ball there at the end of the first half. The other one, that's a byproduct of about 10 games of tape, I think, 11 games of tape, because they have hit that deep crossing route underneath that cover two, cover three shell all season long. And you had a little bit of a rat or a robber there in the middle of the field. Guy made a hell of a play for EIU. I mean, that was a hell of a catch. But, you know, that's sort of where it's at, because you're not causing defenses to drop that extra defender in the box and give you some more over-the-top opportunities, you know? So, that's the other side of that. But I thought offensively, look, you know, to me, without having Bernard, as much as he impacts things as a receiver, I think as big a void, if not bigger, is the area of blocking. Jeremy Bernard, when he's not out there, and I know people already look at Alabama offensively as soft or softish, they are soft without Jeremy Bernard, because it isn't just the big play ability. He brings physicality to that offense. Not just talking about the wide receivers. I'm talking about the offense in general, offensive line, tight ends included. I mean, some of the perimeter blocking today, given the opponent, was not good. I'm sure Shep's going to have some fun with a couple of starters. That there were some looks where, grant you, EIU had something on and they were bringing a secondary guy against a run. And you're not gonna be able to execute the block on that defender that you would like with the wide receiver. But go after the guy anyway. Go get in the mix with him. You know, even if he's coming down from the corner against a run to the perimeter and he's guessed right, or they've called it right defensively, you still got to go and engage that guy. You don't want to block him in the back, but you got to go get in the mix. You know, it was a couple of starters that on occasion weren't good enough on the perimeter. And there's always those guys or guy that the fans are always, why don't we see this guy? Where's this guy at? You know, when we talk about wide receivers and you see some of the blocking today, and you go, well, that's exactly why you don't see him. You know, the urgency isn't there first and foremost. Jacob also chiming in. Do you think we could see more Riley and Deer next week? I would like to see Riley at least, because again, as I said earlier, I think the complimentary nature with him in there, and I'm not saying it's Sean Alexander in 96 having to wait over there. I'm not saying he's to that caliber. I'm not even saying that about AK Deer. But yeah, I would like to see some more energy, more. We don't have to have it blocked exactly right for these guys to hit a chunk run. Okay. Just more of that in general. I think Kevin Riley might be able to give you. He gave it to you earlier in the season. It's pretty much a mystery how he went from ascending and then nothing for an elongated stretch. And then we see him and AK Deer early today. What about Ryan Grubb down on the sideline today? Again, there were storylines for a game like this. Fortunately, they didn't entail injuries from the game. But going into the game, we got the word about Josh Cuevas. So even on that front, you had more to talk about than you would like. But, you know, I think the hope at this point is, it says to me with Grubb on the sideline that there is at least a partial recognition that Ty is regressing a little bit. That's what I think about Ryan Grubb down on the field. Maybe just trying to take a little bit off of him, Ty, to, you know, free him up to get back to that level that he was before the last couple of games. Trent, by the way, chiming in on that. Do you feel like Ty has just been a little off the last four games or so? I'll tell you what I didn't like about Ty the most against Oklahoma was some of the looks into his eyes during that game. Those were some looks from Ty I don't think we saw even in the Florida State game. So that you always hear coaches, and it's cliche as hell, but they always talk about the look in the quarterback's eye that they look for. There were some looks from Ty last week. It was like unrecognizable relative to what we had seen up to that point. Even against South Carolina when things weren't going great, you didn't get that sense. So I think today, I don't think it was by design, but I don't think it was necessarily a bad thing that he didn't have Bernard. Now, it was a bad thing he didn't have Cuevas, because that doesn't sound good moving forward beyond today. But I kind of liked Bernard being out because, okay, you don't have your guy out there. You know, now you've got to figure out how to get the football where it needs to go into some other spots. And, you know, it allowed for a lot of guys to get on the field too without Jeremy Bernard out there. So if you wanted to see Jalen Hale, you wanted to see Jalen Mbakwe, you wanted to see more Rico Scott, a guy that early in the season, kind of like Kevin Riley, that you thought, okay, this guy's becoming a fixture. He's going to threaten some reps for some of these top three guys. But then Lottie Brooks ends up being more of that guy. Yeah, that's where today was interesting. I'm not panicking where Ty is concerned, but it's not his best vibe of the season. It's maybe his worst his vibe has been all season, and it's coming at a really rough time, especially when you look around college football and you see these other quarterbacks and those offenses that they're in. It's not all on Ty. They are ascending through November. Another viewer here, and we appreciate the live commentary here, so feel free to chime in. I think Ty has something going on with his game. Like, is it mentally or physically? Yeah, I don't know of an injury, and it doesn't look like he's dealing with anything like that. I would say, you know, there are corrections that come about during the course of a season for any player, and especially at the quarterback position. You're not going to go 13 games lighting it up like he did for that six, seven game stretch. You're just not. But the key now is, and it kind of reminds me of 2009 Alabama, McElroy went through that real stretch where it was not good. I mean, remember the South Carolina game, but at least Alabama had Mark Ingram to go back to. They weren't quarterback centric anyway. That 2009 team wasn't. They weren't anything close to that. But they got through. They survived that rough patch. South Carolina, Tennessee. You know, a game they could have easily lost in Tuscaloosa. And then LSU. I mean, that was really the quick ball out to Julio, who turned that into a game-changing touchdown. There was a controversial non-interception that Greg had in that game. And then, you know, when you needed Greg at about this very point in the season, going to Auburn, and you get the drive late that he engineers, and then he carries that over into the SEC championship game against Florida, it was huge. I think Ty's just kind of hit that sort of wall a little bit, and it needs to, as much as they put on him and they put on the quarterback, you know, there ain't no Mark Ingram. There ain't no Trent Richardson. Now, the defense, thank goodness. I think the defense right now gives you more hope about going down to Jordan-Hare next Saturday night and getting the job done than anything else. More than the passing game at this point, and more than special teams, I'd say for sure. Yeah, CC says the pass to Mbakwe could have been a TD if the pass had been on target. Yeah, it's just a little bit here and there right now. And again, that also speaks to the level the dude was playing at for a long time. He's definitely not playing his best right now. What else do we have here? More cracks on the selection committee as it relates to today's rushing output for Alabama. CC says Keelan Russell looks smooth like Bryce Young. It's easy power, man. It's easy power. I mean, Bryce was so impressive because he wasn't nearly the size of Keelan, and he could generate what he could. (laughs) Yeah, CeCe's talking about the lack of deep ball. I think it's due in large part because you can't run. You know, if you could just run efficiently, and it was, but they're, you know, the one thing they're not going to let you do is take the top off with Ryan or Horton or Jeremy. So they're going to keep the top on, and you're going to have to keep hitting that intermediate stuff. And sometimes you're going to have somebody jump it like Oklahoma did, or somebody sitting right there in the middle of it. Silverblade says, hard to take much from a game here, but would have liked to have seen Ty take a few deep shots just to see one hit like a jumper going in when you're slumping. Yeah, I mean, it would be great. I think he's going where the coverage is taking him a lot of times. I don't think it's just a total aversion to throwing the ball deep. I think the coverages that they're seeing are sort of dictating where the ball is going to. Oh, gosh. Yeah, the real ones remember here. Alan remembers the Sean Alexander reference from 96, 291 against LSU. Yeah, and most of that was in the second half. Donald is of the belief that the run game is to fault as much as anything with Ty's regression. And again, statistically, you look at his numbers, they're not terrible. The turnovers, as much as anything, are the biggest problem. Seven straight games now with a turnover. Yeah, I just thought that crossing route, he thought he could work it over the top and in front of the safeties, because I think he's done it this season, but didn't get enough lift on that. DB, kid made a hell of a play for EIU. CC worried about Ty's look on the road next week. Yeah, I mean, we'll see. I'm more concerned about Cuevas being out. Now, Ty may go down there and throw three or four picks, but I'd feel better about that scenario not happening if Josh Cuevas was available for that game. Let's see. SK doesn't like all the checking. Go play. They do check a lot, you know. That's been my answer. That's been my answer to some of the sign stealing allegations that are out there. People say, well, you know, they got the green dot. You know, it's not a problem. Well, you know, once they go to 15, that mic goes off. And so you are still doing a lot of checking. Good question, Trent. So if we can't run next week and they play three safeties deep next week and we don't have Cuevas, how would you beat the Auburn defense, Coach Travis? Well, I'm nobody's coach, but I just don't think, even if Cuevas is out, you can change who you are at this point. So that means next man up. That means Caleb Edwards, Jay Lindsey, Marshall Pritchett, you push up maybe into that type of role to sort of help you replace those yards. Because as I said earlier, it's not just that you got to replace Cuevas's yards if he can't go. You got to replace the run game yards that Cuevas was replacing by what he was giving you in the passing game. I don't know, man. We got somebody in here spamming up the chat, don't we? I'm going to try to take care of that for y'all. There we go. Let's see. I think it's a good point, CC, and I thought both quarterbacks played fast once they got out there. I thought they looked like they haven't taken the brunt of the previous 10 games. So I think it's a fair point. Silverblade says, pretty sure if Vandy finishes off UK, Alabama is absolutely in if we beat Auburn. So there you go. No pressure next week. Defensively today, what did you like? What about those young linebackers we saw out there? I like seeing Quay Rousseau limited, but I like working him back in. I say that, and I think that Justin Hill, Noah Carter, maybe it's time to give Christian Robinson some love. You know, we like to bang on coaches and people not doing their job maybe as much as we think they should. I'll tell you what, that Wolf position, man, Yonzi Pierre, his emergence. And you know what? Maybe Keon Keeley, not necessarily the same position because he's more of that bandit now. Maybe Keon Keeley, assuming he comes back next year, is Yonzi Pierre next year at the bandit. How about that? How about that projection for you? Because, you know, Yonzi, it took some time. Took Yonzi some time. And now he's pretty much the guy at the Wolf. But you love having Rousseau back. But Justin Hill, man, Noah Carter, these guys look pretty good. I thought the young inside linebackers, Caden Jones, he's kind of the forgotten guy. He's not one of those three veterans, you know, at the top. And then he's not in that next group necessarily with like Luke Metz that we saw a lot of today. We saw Luke Metz, I think, with the green dot, which tells me something as a true freshman. And they're already piping him in on that dot. Says he can take on some things. He can handle some things and still play. Duke Johnson we saw out there. QB Reese early with Caden Jones. Yeah. Back in, you saw a lot of guys back there. What about my guy Peavy, 29? Thought that was Minka for a minute, didn't you? Good for him. It brought me some Will Lowry vibes when I saw Peavy out there in 29. Lowry could ball now. Coming in that dime package. And get it done. Yeah, CC, I know. The defense has been so amazing, and we were skeptical of Womack. Well, he gave us reason to be, man. And that still may, and kudos to him for the job they've done and the improvement they've made. But I still will never understand the approach to Florida State in the first half when you're rotating guys in there like it's, you know, week two preseason in the NFL. You know, that still might come back to hurt. And I still won't understand it regardless, you know. But how about DeJohn Lee on a punt return today? Was that was DeJohn, wasn't it? That looked pretty good. Jacob Hartline, think Bama has to plan for Deuce Knight for the Auburn game. What did he run for, like 300 yards today? He had a big game, Deuce Knight, the freshman quarterback for Auburn in that blowout of Mercer. If Daniel starts slow, Jacob says, do you think they may go to him? Well, I think everything's on the table. Anytime you play Auburn in an Iron Bowl, especially when there's nothing for Auburn to lose. Yeah, I think anything and everything's on the table. I mean, he's a talented, talented dude, man. But Alabama's defense ain't Mercer either. And I think Alabama can turn Auburn over. But it starts with Cobb in the run game. Got to take care. If you can put the game in Daniel's hands, throwing the football, I think you got a chance to turn them over. If you can't, I mean, it could be Vandy for him again. And that's rough. Gets Cam Coleman and those receivers going. Bama plays a little bit different style. If you can do a good enough job against the run without having a man up on the outside all the time, at least mix it up, that would obviously be optimum. Because you start having to play, you start having to commit that seventh, eighth guy to the run, and you start leaving corners. I don't care, Zabian, DeJohn, any of these guys. I like the physical matchups that Alabama has because of Cam Coleman's size, but it's still not a great way to live against that dude in man coverage. So anything else, gang, that we haven't touched on the latest edition of Aftermath? We will have Talking Tide on Sunday night, as we always do. Talking Tide with Chase Goodbread, my pal, sports columnist for the Tuscaloosa News. We'll do that tomorrow night with Chase Goodbread. I'm going to check again, just make sure I didn't miss anything. We talked about Marshall Pritchett, talked about Kevin Riley. It's crazy. 13 different rushers for Alabama in the game, including all five quarterbacks. Five different quarterbacks. Johnny G. Instead of Joey G, Johnny G from Southern California at quarterback for Alabama in there. Another one of those 6'7 guys. Kalen likes those statuesque quarterbacks. He even had a carry at 6'7 in the game. There's the balance you wanted, though, right? There's the balance. 269 rushing, 270 passing. Enjoy it, because I don't think it's going to last next week. But, hey, whatever you got to do, by all means necessary. Deborah asking about the take on Grubbs' play calling. He had something to Caden Proctor again for you. Caden, one of those 13 rushers for Alabama in the game. I think if I need something out of my back pocket at any point in the game, I think Ryan Grubb is the guy I'd want to dial it, draw it, and dial it. I think it's still to be determined in terms of the requisite balance, legitimate balance. And I'm not one of these, you got to run it for 200 plus, because I'm watching Arkansas run it for 200 plus again, probably, and lose. So, you can miss me with all that. I watch Missouri run it for 240 every week. What happened to Missouri's offense today against Oklahoma? I don't think in 2025 you can hide quarterback play and passing game. You can. It's not 92. This isn't 92 Bama. Oklahoma's showing you if you can take the ball away and just play really good defense and your offense doesn't kill you in the process and your kicking game's good, then you still can go a ways. But Oklahoma's not winning the national championship. Oklahoma's not playing for an SEC title. And I understand Mateer had an injury. But even with Mateer healthy, that offense isn't going to be enough. That's not Ohio State's offense that struggled against Michigan in a loss at home last season and then hit its stride on its way to a national championship, because the pieces were there with Ohio State. Top to bottom, they were there. They're not there with Oklahoma. That's what makes that loss last weekend continuously frustrating. That's not a very good Oklahoma offense. And all you had to do was not basically beat yourself. So, but we'll get off of that now. Nobody wants to talk about that. But as far as Grubb goes, if I have to dial up concepts in the passing game and dialing guys open, designing guys open, that's and timing in the play calling, that's him. Now, again, if you want 200 plus rushing yards, you're not going to get it, because if that was his thing, he'd still be in Seattle. Anyway, thanks as always for tuning in right here to Aftermath on the Ryer on YouTube network. Enjoy the rest of your Saturday night. Go see a movie or something. I know you're not going to do it, because I'm not doing it either. I'm going to be watching Tennessee, Florida, watching these other games. So I know. Talking out both sides of my mouth when I say that. But regardless, enjoy yourself. Stay safe out there, too. Enjoy yourself. Enjoy your loved ones. Cherish that time with those folks. And we'll be right back here on Sunday with Talking Tide with Chase Goodbread of the Tuscaloosa News. Thank you, Deborah, for chiming in. We always appreciate it. Till Sunday night, right back here on the channel. So long, everybody.